Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. At least three things of note happened in the mayoral race in the last day. On the second anniversary of the Occupy movement, Bill de Blasio said as mayor he would respect the movement, pretty different from Bloomberg, who publicly disagreed with their anti-Wall Street protests. The first general election poll came out, as Richard was just reporting, that Marist poll showing de Blasio with an OMG 65-22 lead over Republican Joe Loda. And did you see the cover of El Diario yesterday? Three big photos side by side by side of the big three candidates for mayor. That's right, I said big three candidates for mayor. De Blasio, Loda, and my next guest, Independence Party candidate Adolfo Carrion. Carrion is a former Bronx borough president and Obama administration official, and the only Latino in the race, a big enough deal that he got equal front page billing in the Spanish language daily. Could he be a factor in the campaign? He's only at 3% in that Marist poll. Maybe the one-time Democrat will siphon votes from de Blasio and make Joe Loda more competitive. We'll see. Adolfo Carrion does join me now in our studio. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian. Great to be here. And I'm sorry I was a bit late, but I'm glad we're able to talk about what is, a seminal year in New York and a turning point, really, about our future and the selection of the next leader of this great city.
Now, you were originally going for the Republican nomination, but you couldn't get clearance to run on that line as a registered Democrat. Now you're on the Independence Party ticket. Are you going to campaign hard and try to make this a three-way race?
So let's do this again. The Republicans invited me to consider a fusion ticket. I was always I had decided to run as an independent. I'm an unaffiliated voter. I believe where the people are. I believe the people in the city and the country are way ahead of the politicians. If you look at it nationally, immigration, education reform, gun control. If you look at it locally, the failure of our school system, the need for affordable housing. There are so many things that the folks in the city are way ahead of the politicians on, and they're begging for independent leadership. They're happy about what happened over the last 20 years, despite the fact that, you know what, Mike got a little grumpy at the end. You know, 12 years is a long time. He should have taken the second term and went on, given us his full eight years, which was what he was supposed to do.
So you're running on an embrace most of what Bloomberg did platform?
I'm embracing the direction in which the city is going. We can't go back to the city of the 1970s and 80s that I grew up in. These are failed liberal policies. And look, you know, I'm a social progressive, but I believe in public safety. I believe in accountability. I believe in making sure that we hold government accountable. And I also believe that, you know, we need to restore civics and get the electorate juiced up to vote. They're staying home. Three out of every 10 voters in New York City stayed home in the year 2009. So we need to animate these folks. You know, the notion that Bill de Blasio has some sort of a mandate or the notion that it's only a two-way race is not sustained by anybody else but the press, with all due respect. So I'm challenging the conventional wisdom and saying, folks, we need to have a conversation about the future, and you have a third option in Adolfo Carrion.
Did you say failed liberal policies?
I did say failed liberal policies in the following, and what I mean by this is that, look, after 50 years of talking about education reform, we're still graduating only 29% of the kids in New York City ready in the public schools ready to work or go to college. That means we're relegating a 71% to a life of poverty, crime, high costs on the back end. So I believe upfront investments are very important. I'm going to be talking about that later today on the steps of City Hall. Here's the other thing, Brian. We have cities, you know, Bill talks about a tale of two cities. What we really have is cities within cities that have been neglected. The New York City Housing Authority is about 500,000 people strong city within the city, and it is essentially relegated to be a ghetto. We need to transform that. The same thing with the public school system. 1,100,000 kids that, you know what, we've tested charter schools, we've tested magnet schools, and we're only reaching 5.5% of those kids. Whose failure is that? It's not the teachers. You know, there's something wrong with the system and the politicians who sustain it.
But I'm not sure I understand the philosophy connecting with that statement.
Yes.
If you're talking about failed liberal policies on education, I think a lot of liberals would say that's not what Bloomberg was pursuing over the last 12 years, anything they would call liberal policies with all the standardized testing and charter schools.
Look, I think what we need is a new progressivism that is about responsibility and deliverables. And that's what I'm about. And that's why I've become an independent, because I'm about being socially progressive and experimental and innovative. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to be fiscally responsible, and it has to be about deliverables. Here we have generations that are living in poverty, underperformance. They have very little prospects to enter the modern global economy. And we're sitting by twiddling our thumbs, you know, talking about STEM. What we need is STEAM. We need science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. We need civics in the curriculum. We need to give the principals authority. It has to be a child-centered education. I'm going to be talking later, Brian, about a seven-day-a-week school building in the neighborhood as a community life and learning center.
On A Tale of Two Cities, let me play you a clip of de Blasio speaking yesterday on the second anniversary of the Occupy movement and see how similar you are to him on this.
You know, I think the Occupy movement made a powerful point to this nation about the reality of our economy and some of the things we have to do to address people's suffering. I don't know what the future of that movement is. I simply can say that I respect what people in that movement are saying, and I will certainly endeavor in every way to treat them with respect as mayor.
And I think it's fair to say de Blasio got nominated on a very Occupy-like theme of that Tale of Two Cities, if not 1%, 99% per se. As a former Bronx borough president, is it possible to see the city any differently?
I think the best social program is a job, and we need to grow the economy, and that should be our focus. Empty promises, over-promising and underperforming and under-delivering is a great tradition here in New York, where politicians run on these wonderful, you know, happy talk platforms about, you know, we're going to give pre-K to everybody. You know, by God, we should give pre-K to everybody. Oh, we're going to tax the rich. We shouldn't tax the rich. We shouldn't tax anybody any more than they're taxed in the highest tax city in the United States.
So where would you find the money to give universal pre-K to all the kids full day?
So first, the first commitment is, yes, you have to do it. And the understanding is that the upfront investment in education is the most important and meaningful investment. It gives us the best return on investment. We either will pay big on the back end with the criminal justice system, with the healthcare system that sustains people that have made poor choices in their lives, or people that are out of work, that are homeless, that are, you know, in on the public system, or we will pay up front. Now, here's the problem. You know, if you can get 1% from all these guys up in Albany, even the governor, Governor Andrew Cuomo says, no. And, you know, he might be running for president. Who knows? Only he knows that. I think he's said no more taxes in New York State. So to suggest that to the people is not being entirely honest.
You are explicitly trying to appeal to Latino voters, I think it's fair to say. You wrote an op-ed in El Diario yesterday where you say that Latinos have been waiting for a candidate who they can support with enthusiasm and confidence, and that candidate has arrived, and it's you. You say only 14% of Latinos came out to vote in the primary. Only 21% of everybody voted. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that Latinos in particular should support you?
You know, we have a very unique community. It's multinational from many nations across the Americas and multiracial. So we have a unique place in American history, and I've suggested this nationally when I was a president of the National Association of Latino Elected Officials, when I was at the White House, talking about the unique position of leadership that the Latino community can provide to America. It's the fastest growing sector of the American populace, the marketplace, the political base of this nation. So Latinos need to step up. The problem that we have here in New York City is that Latinos still feel like they're visitors. It's not their city. I'm telling those 900,000 registered Latinos, only of which 189,000 came out in 2009, 16%. I'm saying to them, wake up. You're a sleeping giant. You need to take the reins of the city's future into your hands, make it your city. And that's the theme of the campaign.
By electing you. But we talked yesterday to New York Times reporter Sam Roberts and Raihan Salam from National Review about how, at least in the primary, New Yorkers did not seem to vote their identity. They voted their candidate who represented them on the issues. But we noticed on your campaign website, you insist on calling New York Nueva York on every reference, even though you still call New Jersey New Jersey. Is this a specifically identity politics appeal?
No. You know what? It's a way of trying to reach a community that should be voting and participating and succeeding and unfortunately is not. If you look at the major indicators, look, I am running to be the mayor of all New Yorkers. But if the Latino community wakes up and the Latino community gets educated and is healthy and is opening up businesses and is entering the high-paying jobs in the IT sector, guess what? We all win. If we incubate small businesses, high-tech businesses, innovators in these incubators in the industrial areas, the old industrial areas and the parts of the city that are now dying that need, you know, tech reach and internet reach, we all win. So you have 2.5 million of the 8.3 million New Yorkers who are of Hispanic descent in one way or another. We've got to wake those folks up. And you know what they represent? They represent the energy of the immigrant tradition of this great city.
Since Latinos tend to vote overwhelmingly Democratic in New York, are you concerned that by taking whatever votes you take from that community, you may not have enough to win the mayoralty, but you'll help the Republican Joe Lota get elected by taking votes from de Blasio?
If we wake up the sleeping giant, and it's not only Latinos, but it's also African Americans and other marginalized populations, New York City wins. Somebody suggested to me the other day, Brian, they said, Adolfo, do you see yourself as a spoiler? And I said, the only thing I'm fixing to spoil is the broken status quo. When those kids are able to break the cycle of poverty and get out of the projects, when they're able to get an education in a public school system that sets them off to a life of success, then you know what? I'm a spoiler.
Would you just as soon see Lota as de Blasio be elected mayor if it's not you? Are they equally bad in your opinion?
The most important thing we need to do is have a vigorous discussion about our future. We need to have a strong debate about our future, whether it's public safety, education, the affordability challenge in New York. Look, we have a 2% vacancy rate in New York City. It's a seller's market. If you own property, if you own space, you command the market, you set the price. That's not the way it ought to be.
How would you change that? How would you influence that market?
You influence by rezoning around transportation hubs. You go vertical. You allow for more development to happen. You make it green. You make it connected to mass transit. You build out more mass transit and more mass transit connectors. Obviously, all of this requires resources. So, you know, the trick question from everybody is always, well, how are you going to pay for it? Well, why don't we start with a vision about who we are and what we can be in the world and that we want to be the global city? I see a public-private partnership just on the IT side to wire the city and make sure everybody has internet, the far reaches of the city.
So last question, speaking of resources, do you have enough to run a meaningful campaign? Do you have money? You can come on this show for free, but beyond that.
You know what? If the media covers our campaign, our message gets out. We're raising money every day. We're raising it in small amounts. I think it's going to pick up the interest of a few of the established interests in this town. They know who I am and they know how I work. We built 40,000 units of housing in the Bronx in 7.5 years. We built a new Yankee Stadium neighborhood. We built millions of square feet of retail and office development because I understand how the economy functions. We have a borough that's 12 minutes from LaGuardia, 25 minutes from JFK. It is right in the global city. Businesses should be clawing over each other to get here.
Did that work out, the Yankees for the neighborhood?
Aren't you glad I brought it up? I think it did. If you go there now, and I had a wonderful experience, Brian. I went just walking around, talking to people. One of my Saturday campaign days, I went to the park that we built. This guy comes up to me, and he says, I want to say I'm sorry, Mr. Kerry. And I said, what? You didn't do anything? He says, yes, I did. I called you all sorts of names at a public town hall meeting because you were proposing to tear down the old stadium and build a new neighborhood. And now my family loves this place. It has transformed this neighborhood. neighborhood.
So are you setting up to potentially have the same fate of as Christine Quinn because you're running as a sort of stay the Bloomberg course and add a few elements in a change year?
You know what? This is not about stay the Bloomberg course. The Bloomberg moved the needle somewhat on education and started to create some innovative platforms for education reform. I'm talking about creating world-class schools in every neighborhood. I'm talking about a five-borough economic development strategy that focuses on small business. And guess what? One of the high points of my economic development strategy is going to be to reach those minority and women-owned businesses that do not benefit from our $70 billion budget. We are one of the largest purchasers of goods and services on the globe. We need to create wealth in communities.
Adolfo Carrion, former urban affairs official in the Obama administration, former Bronx Borough president, now the Independence Party candidate for mayor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Noam Chomsky next. Stay with us.